You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is hour number two. We're going to talk a little Tigers football coming up next segment. We will hear from Eric Alexander, LSU Game Day Live over on CST. We'll talk about LSU taking on, of course, Mississippi State. Coming up bottom of the hour, Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, and we will get a preview of the big matchup on ESPN2 coming up at 6 o'clock on Saturday as they will take on the Memphis Tigers. So we'll talk a little bit about that here as well. Also, we'll take a look at the NFC, John, around 1:45, some of the teams, surprises and not. John Forcade stopping in today to hang out with us. You look good, 50 pounds lighter.
Yeah,
incredible since I last saw you.
Got a new knee.
How's that feel, by the way?
It's an interesting scar.
But
it's getting better. The scar is getting better. I'm 3 weeks and 2 days into the surgery, and they tell you you got to get the 125 degree bent on your knee for you to be at the point where you're ready to be cleared. I'm at 118 right now after 3 weeks and 2 days of having the surgery, so I'm feeling good about it. My rehab clinic has done a phenomenal job. I go 3 days a week, about 2 hours a day there, so I'm pushing it, man. I feel like I'm back trying to play again, but I'm not. I want to get healthy.
I want to talk a little bit about rehab here later on this hour as well. As Drew Brees says, he's graduated from Nerf footballs to a full NFL size football. Your take on that coming up in a little bit, but also the fact that he says he's going to have to play with a splint.
Yes.
So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. But top of the hour in hour number one on Thursdays, we've decided to have a little fun with Eric Ritchie and, VSN Louisiana, Varsity Sports Now Louisiana. If you want prep action, folks, go check them out at VSN Louisiana on Twitter. And, of course, you can follow Eric personally at Eric Ritchie VSN. Eric, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Gus, and it's good to hear John Forcade, an old buddy of ours. We used to do some shows together back in the day, Forcade and Ritchie. Used to do a little purple, black, and gold on CST.
I loved it, man. How you doing, Eric?
Everything is good, John. I'm glad to hear you're doing better, and that knee's going to come around. That knee's going to come around, and it's going to be a world of difference.
Like I told when they saw me today, I'm 50 pounds lighter, and I got a better knee, and my left knee was done 2 years ago. I'm done with the surgeries. 22 is enough. I had 22 surgeries over my lifetime. I'm done with it.
Well, I get upset if I get a paper cut.
Hey, I know what you did with those 50 pounds. You gave them to me, so thank you.
I tell you what, you'd be impressed, Eric. I went to see my sister a couple weekends ago. Put on 8 in 4 days.
Solid effort.
You like that? See, that's what I'm talking about. Look, man, I definitely want to talk about some of the games, but one of the things I love that VSN Louisiana does, and John, you got to go give them a follow and go check this out, man, is I love this recruiting series, Unofficial Visits, and you sit down with players around these parts here on ESPN New Orleans, very familiar with Ja'Kai Douglas. He's listed as an athlete. You have a little feature with him that is airing right now as well. Ja'Kai, we've had him on, I want to say 2 years ago, last year. And just hearing his opportunities and so many schools kind of looking at him, can you tell us about the piece that's up there right now?
Yeah, it actually is going to stream a little later on today. We've got the previews up right now. Unofficial Visits is our recruiting feature that Julie Baudouin, you know Julie from NOLA.com and Times-Picayune, and she now does a tremendous feature on some of the top really, rated recruits in the country, to be honest with you, when you're talking about Ja'Kai Douglas and Mason Smith from Terrebonne, and she did Shaz Preston from St. James. Chris Hilton was last week from Zachary. But just to kind of get an inside take on what these players are going through, obviously their mind right now is on their respective seasons, trying to win a state championship for their school. And Julie really dives in to find out more about them as a person, what the process is like. The one funny thing I found out about Ja'Kai from her piece was the very first year he ever played football, and you know what Ja'Kai Douglas looks like. His frame, he's a thin guy. They put him at center his first year of football. He was playing center, and Julie had some of those pictures where the shoulder pads are just, you know, completely, he looks like the Beetlejuice move. His head is so little, but they let him run the ball once, and then let's just say his days on the offensive line were over. And, he scored a big touchdown last week, helped them beat Destrehan for the first time in, you know, over 20 years. So that team is full of excitement, full of great recruits. And, we'll be streaming their game this week against HL Bourgeois. But you're right. Unofficial Visits is our recruiting feature, and each feature episode drops on Thursday evening.
Yeah, man, it's great. We're seeing the video and the picture of the still photo of him in those shoulder pads, John. You might have been able to play a little longer if he had shoulder pads that big. You know, it's interesting, though, Richie, and Johnny can chime in on this. I love this because it does kind of show you the recruiting process. A lot of times, media folks and, you know, obviously Matt does a great job talking about the guys that LSU's going after and stuff, and it's a name, it's a star, but the process and what that is like, and it's probably different, John, when you were being recruited to where it is now, how you actually go about it. It's kind of a big decision when you have to decide that.
Well, the media now is so different than it was back then. You know, you didn't have all the social media, you didn't have everybody putting the huddle and this and that, and everybody knows these kids. And Eric does a great job of doing, you know, the River Parish and the local guys around here, getting some of the unknown guys out there. Back when I was playing, you only knew who the known guys were. You didn't know some of the other guys. They only wanted to know who the big guys were recruiting and going out there. Now you have so many young kids and guys out there, and I think it's tremendous that they're getting their opportunity now, people to know who they are.
Eric?
Yeah, no question about it. And John's right. I mean, we have assistant coaches from colleges all over the country and recruiting coordinators that follow our website and will direct message us on Twitter and say, hey, do you have, you know, who are your best defensive linemen? Or do you have any kind of recruiting, things coming up that we could come down and see a bunch at one time? So, you know, John's right. There's specific websites that are built now for just the recruiting process. And those guys, they need information. It's like the beast needs fed. So they're constantly trying to get, you know, updates on where you guys are visiting, what they're thinking. And obviously all these big college football games, every time LSU plays a Florida or a big SEC game, the other story is all the recruits that are there on official or unofficial visits. So, it's its own sport now, this recruiting situation. And, you know, with our story on official visits, we try to just kind of peel back and let you know what the players are thinking.
Speaking with Eric Ritchie, as we will each and every Thursday, top of the 1 o'clock hour. John, you mentioned you were going to go check out Rumble this weekend. Eric, I was going to ask you what happened last week, and I'm just going to blame myself. I cursed Coach Bonice when he came on last Friday. But then that Rumble defense, that when you've allowed 6 points all season, zero, John, in the last two games, facing one of the top offenses so far this year. I mean, Eric, I'm thinking Dome, or do I have to wait for that matchup against Curtis later?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, what they've done defensively, and we've had a chance to live stream one of their games and saw that defense firsthand. You're right. They haven't let up a touchdown all year, a pair of field goals all season. There's guys that are on those old Rumble teams that are jumping on social media and telling the current players to go and try to beat their record. And they play Holy Cross in the back end of a doubleheader, a rare Friday doubleheader this week that starts with your brother Martin Crusaders taking on Shaw at a 3:30 game with Tad Gormley. Then it's Rumble at Holy Cross. But you're right, John Curtis, who has Jesuit this week, to me that's the matchup that you got to see. Rumble versus John Curtis, the two, you know, class organizations or football teams in our area and the state, two of the top really in the country. And you got Catholic over there in Baton Rouge. They're 6-0, and on the PowerPoint, they're actually rated number one. You think wow. Rummel and Curtis have both played out-of-state games where I don't think they got the PowerPoint. But all three of those teams, I think, are tremendous, and I cannot wait, as you said, Gus, Rummel versus Curtis in 2 weeks.
Any other games to keep an eye on this weekend? Anything that you guys are streaming?
Well, we're streaming Country Day in West St. John, so it's a great look at Justin Ivietta, obviously. Yep, the quarterback going to Tulane. We've got some great games in the River. We're not streaming, but Destrehan and East St. John is always just an unbelievable matchup. So you got big time guys like Kyle Edwards, Quincy Brown, Noah Taliancic, Destra, and for East St. John, a name I want you guys to remember. He's number eight. He's an outside kind of pass rusher, defensive end, outside linebacker, Jackie Marshall. Remember that name, number eight, Jackie Marshall. He has 22 tackles for loss all season already at this point. And the other big game, of course, in the river is Hanville at 6-0, hosting Central Lafourche at 5-1. Central Lafourche has got one of the most exciting running backs in South Louisiana in Deion Jenkins. So 5-1 Central Lafourche at 6-0 Thibodeau. And Thibodeau just knocked off undefeated, Hanville just knocked off undefeated Thibodeau last week in a big game. So there's great football all around the area, but week seven, high school football, South Louisiana, are you kidding me? It's a great time. It's a great
listen
time.
Listen to that excitement yeah. level, John. You know he loves
well,
it.
Well, Eric's always been a big supporter of the high school level here, and he does a great job for the high school programs here in the southern part of Louisiana, especially the River Parish, like he likes to say, the River Parish.
Yeah, there it is. Hey, go check it out, at VSN Louisiana. So we're going to follow your network, my friend, over online, and you personally at Eric Ritchie, VSN. Go do that, and every Thursday we'll hear from you top of hour number two. Thank you, bud.
Hey, great talking to you, Gus, and some bonus John Forte time.
Always hey, Eric, appreciate it, my friend. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Hey, hour two is brought to you 5-11 by Carl Malone, purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. 6601 Veterans Boulevard across from Lafreniere Park, the entrance to Lafreniere Park right there in Vets. Have you been to the store yet, John? Have you made your way over to 5-11 by Carl Malone?
Not really.
I tell you what, dude.
What is it?
Think of North Face, right?
Okay. Oh, clothing.
Yeah. But what I'm saying by that is, like, you're going to have, like, gear that's sort of for that, right? But
gotcha.
It's not just winter gear. You can walk in, you look over to the right, you're going to see hunting gear, like hunting shirts and pants.
Wow.
Fishing shirts and pants. And Jordan already picked up his dad's, or he picked out, rather, his dad's Christmas present. He loves to spend time on the water. He's got a little boat and everything. Think of a shirt that has ventilated, almost kind
gotcha.
Of whole shirts right on the sleeves,
you
on
know
the
what
back
I'm
of
do?
The neck.
As soon as I'm
really
done with
cool
the show
place.
Today,
yeah.
I am going to drive by there
I'm
because I'm looking for another winter jacket, like a little heavier jacket.
Well, they're made in, like, when you walk in, you'll see on the walls, they have pictures of mountains, forest, and water. So it's stuff that goes in there.
Good.
And it's for tactical and for military as well. Black Rifle Coffee Company is featured
in there as well.
So I'm sure your brother wouldn't mind paying a visit over there as well. But yeah, you got stuff for police. You got stuff for military. You have a wall of backpacks, man. I know you like your bags.
I do.
There's a wall of backpacks that is fantastic. I thought I was looking at a lunchbox. It's a gun range holder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's where you put your, you know.
Little
your
gun in and
yeah, your magazines and everything. Yeah. I thought it was for, you know,
I'm going to definitely take a ride over there.
And then on that side, if you look to the left of the backpacks, John, you'll see literally something called a flashbang holder. Like flashbang grenades. They have things that you can put your stuff in there. I'm like, it's a really cool place, plus workout gear. That you can go work out, like, to the gym or just everyday apparel. But Carl Malone, who we had on last Friday on
that
the show.
Would that be the Carl Malone?
The Carl Malone. He said you have stuff there for every day. So jeans, regular shirts and stuff like that.
It's not for oversized guys like him, like the big basketball players.
He says he wears everything top to bottom.
Great.
5'11 stuff every single day. So
I'm going there.
But give it a try.
I will.
Tell your brother about it. I think he would like a place like that.
It's called 5'11"?
5'11 by Carl Malone. It's, you know, where Best Buy is and the interstate on Vets.
Yes.
Keep going towards the airport.
Okay.
There's a little strip mall right there across from the Shell station in the entrance to Lafreniere Park.
Okay.
I think TJ Maxx and all where the old Godfather's Pizza used to be.
I know exactly.
It's right there, literally.
Gotcha. I'm going.
It would be right to the left of the front door
where
the old Godfather's Pizza would be. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in here as well. Eric Alexander says, you know, give me a half hour. I'm on my way over there. He wants to do this in person. So we'll talk Saints, and we'll hear from Teddy Bridgewater. And at 1:45, in person, will be Eric Alexander. Andrew Allegretta still at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive over in Metairie. Jordan, I'm surprised you have not eaten yet. It's incredible. Challenged by the 50-pound weight loss here by John Forte. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. To know what I have in mind.
Papoosh Motors is inviting everyone to their spectacular 6th annual Trunk or Treat in Lockport this Thursday, October 24th from 6 till 8 p.m. Trunk or Treat is a great safe way to enjoy trick-or-treating with your children. There'll be lots of candy, prizes, games, and finger banning. There's hot dogs, chili, and soft drinks for free. So please join us Thursday, October 24th from 6 till 8 p.m. There'll be lots of off-street parking, so come on out to Papoosh Motors annual Trunk or Treat on Thursday, October 24th.
Are you ready to check out the latest innovations from 5.11 by Karl Malone? 5.11 is committed to making the best gear used by those who demand the most. A large selection of award-winning packs and bags and industry-leading pant designs. 5.11's got you covered. Try our best-in-class pants like Apex or Defender jeans. Or walk in a pair of our most comfortable boots that perform in the harshest environments. Build the ultimate bug-out bag with our tactical bags and accessories at 5.11 by Karl Malone. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Always be ready.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
You're at the bar watching the game having a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Your team scores and suddenly you're best friends with the strangers next to you. The kind of friends who you exchange stats with and argue ref calls with. All without knowing each other's names. Tullamore Dew calls these friendships fanships. So next time, strike up a fanship and order a Tully for the person next to you. Tullamore Dew is the original triple-blended smooth-sipping Irish whiskey made exactly for these great moments. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, 80 proof, 2019, imported by William Grant & Sons, Inc.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
We'll be at Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue. John Forque, they are our three sponsor. Looking forward to heading there tomorrow as well. If you ever want any spirits for any occasion, John, I know... You know, you might be in surgery or something, and you can't go, and you couldn't drive for a while. Well, he literally hopeless. Couldn't drive because of his right knee.
Yes.
Anything over $20, free delivery. So pretty much any spirit you get, it's going to be about $20.
Spirit, we talking
like
beverages.
Like booze, yeah.
Like alcoholic
any
beverages.
Any vodkas, you know, your kettles.
A drink in God knows how long either.
But if you have a party, you have something like that, and you want to get something. Well, my point is.
Thanksgiving and Halloween. Halloween,
that's what
Thanksgiving,
I'm
and Christmas.
They deliver is what I'm saying. Anything over $20, it's free delivery. 800-998-1003. Don't forget now, every Tuesday, we will be at Tracy's. On 3rd and
Magazine
Street.
Yep. Yes.
So looking forward to
good
that.
Good po' boys there.
Uptown Ruler is looking forward to this. Tuesday he's going to have a push-up contest with Jordan the intern. Jordan can do 2 push-ups. Uptown Ruler says yesterday as we bring him on, he can do 3 sets of 20. So we'll see what he can do on Tuesday. But he's already getting a free po' boy sandwich on us, roast beef on us on Tuesday. What's up, Uptown Ruler? How are you?
Hey, man, you promised me 2, remember?
Wow, he didn't forget, did he, Jordan?
Wait, 2 roast beef?
Did not forget.
2 roast beef
those
po' boys.
Roast beef po' boys.
Is
go
that
ahead.
Foot long?
And a beverage.
And a beverage. Just throw it all in. A daiquiri. We'll see if Jeff can get daiquiris out there. What you got, man?
Okay. Look, I want to know this. Teddy, the quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm. If Drew Brees doesn't retire next year, will he still be with the Saints? And you're right. I think we ought to keep Kamara out of the game this week and let him rest for the next, what? Next week is a bye week after the Bears?
No, you got the Cardinals, then the bye week.
Okay, you got the Cardinals. I think we ought to let him rest for the next 2 weeks and then bring him back when Drew Brees come back. Because, you know, we're going to need him down the stretch.
Look,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking with John Forcade to start the show, and he described kind of the limitations and things that take place when you have a high ankle sprain. And what Alvin Kamara does, and then you add Sean Payton saying he tweaked the knee. Now, on the injury report yesterday, the ankle's the only thing that's listed. But, you know, look, I'm just putting the math together, right, John? I mean, you see Zach Zenner, you know, the running back signed. And again, to Uptown Ruler's point, what I was making earlier in the week, you have a chance at the end of November to really maybe win the division. And I mean by that is, out of the bye, it's Falcons, Buccaneers, Panthers, Falcons on Thanksgiving. So that's out of the bye. I want a ready-to-go Drew Brees and basically 3 weeks off for Alvin Kamara. That's rested legs. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the knee, whatever. The ankle looks fine. And he's and it's going to be fresh because I can win the division and secure a playoff spot by the end of next month, you know, if that makes any sense to you. So to me, that's where I'm kind of erring on the side of caution.
Well, the main thing is this, is it's what your goals are. Well, your goals are to get the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. Well, how can you get there with healthy guys or unhealthy guys? You want healthy guys there. You want a healthy Drew Brees. So why not wait till Drew Brees comes out of the doggone break? He's ready to roll. Look, they're not going to lose to Arizona at home. They might lose to the Bears, even with Kamara. They can go to Chicago and lose. So let's just get back from Chicago with the least amount of guys banged up. You got a home game against Arizona, and then you know you got your bye week. A lot of guys get fired up for that last game before your bye week, and then you got a bye week. And you got 2 weeks to get ready for the season, the second half of the season. If you're 6-2, nobody's going to complain about it around here. Give me a 6-2 healthy Kamara, healthy Drew Brees, and I'm looking forward to winning the division. And in home field, maybe advantage.
No doubt. Uptown Ruler, anything else?
Yeah, what about Atlanta? What about Atlanta? I mean, we're going to be ready for them Falcons because I'm glad we beat the Cowboys, even though we beat them by 2 points. I'm glad we beat them, and we should have put their head down in the sand and buried them. Not only that, I hate the Cowboys. You know I hate the Cowboys. I think we should bury them deep down in the ground so they wouldn't come back up. Yeah, and here's another thing, too. With the Falcons, I think they should go further down than the Cowboys. And all you Falcon fans out there who's talking all that noise, guess what? We're going to knock down your door and take your stadium and run you out of there.
Those games tend to be Saints home games.
He's mentioning the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. They might be totally out of it by the time the Saints play the Atlanta Falcons.
Dan Quinn might not even be the head coach.
Correct. And then they're going to be looking for how high of a pick they're going to get next season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thank you, Uptown Ruler, 800-998-1003. He opened up by asking the question about Teddy. That's going to be an interesting thing of what happens. Drew not playing for a while this season, right? If there's any benefit, John, is the shoulder should feel fine. Right?
Yes, yeah, he should be a little stronger to throw 40 yards down the field in the second half.
Look, I truly believe if the Saints win the Super Bowl, I would not be surprised if he just walks away.
Yeah, I think he leans more toward it if he wins it.
If he wins it.
Yeah, if he wins it, what more can he do?
If they come up short.
He might give it one more shot.
I think he signs a one-year
deal. I think he signs one day. Look, let me tell you, we talk about Teddy.
Well, to that point, and then what do you do if you're Teddy?
Well, let me just say this. There's nothing etched in stone Teddy will be here next season.
I think one way or another.
Season's over with. Yeah. Season's over with. The Saints have really got to evaluate Teddy as – a player, is he the future of the quarterback here? Or do you go out and you get a, quote, Burrow or
quarterback of the future,
somebody else that's out there? You know, there's a few other quarterbacks.
This is what he had to say yesterday on what he'd like to improve this week on.
I think, for the most part, just being consistent and continuing to trust my process and my routine. I think last week I did something a little different. that wasn't, you know, like me. Well, I changed my shoes, so superstitious. But, just continue to trust the process. And, you know, you can't get fascinated with the success. You have to be fascinated with the process and the routine that you establish. And that's something that's been working for us around here. We've been fascinated with the process, and it's been paying off for us.
When you and I attended the same training camp practice way back in August, remember I asked you, is there something that stands out to you? And we're talking about specifically about Teddy throwing high.
Yep.
In that Jacksonville game,
there was
a pass high to Ted Ginn that
could
have been
caught.
Not just
high, he thrown some low. Right. I've seen some low balls.
But it's the sailing ones, really.
Right.
The pass to Michael Thomas that was wide open for a touchdown.
Right.
Can this get better through reps and such, or is it just?
No. His throwing motion is his throwing motion. You know, people talk about Phillip Rivers for 17 years.
Right.
He hadn't changed anything. A lot of guys haven't changed anything. Teddy pushes the ball, three-quarter sidearm, and the biggest problem people don't realize, the reason he wears gloves, he's got little hands that can't hold on to an NFL football. The glove with the tackiness helps him able to hold on to the football. And when you throw the football with having gloves, the problem is it still sticks to your hand a little bit. That's why the balls do go a little high. I tried it. We went to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It was, 8 degrees, snowing. Different type gloves. I put a glove on in practice a couple of days. Jim Moore looked at me like, what is this? And I wasn't throwing the ball as good as I thought. I said, I don't need no glove. Yeah. My hand's big enough. And it was for the warm part of it.
Right.
That had nothing to do it. But if you got small hands and guys wear gloves, that's because they can't really hold on to the football. That's why you see him pushing the football when he throws.
Well, like I said, it one of the things that is going to happen, obviously, the more that he takes reps and is involved in this offense, you're going to see, John, him be able to read and make those things.
Yep.
Because I understand. I mean, look, it's hard to – you can't make a comparison to a Hall of Fame quarterback. You can't make a comparison to the guy that's been in the same offense since 2006. It's 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in it over 10 years.
Yep.
So Drew has that ability to break the huddle, the walk to the line of scrimmage. He sees a defense, and immediately – here's the important part. Recall a play on the play sheet to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. That's the difference. I mean, that's a really big difference, John. You got to the point where you were comfortable, where you look at defense, okay, this is cover two. Oh, that guy's shading. Let's call Gator Zip, because you know this play will combat that.
Right.
But well, you got to be able to do that.
It all depends on what their scheme is.
Right.
Is it where Drew is changing the player, or is he doing the old Peyton Manning,
right,
Barking out all kind of stuff that means nothing?
Yeah,
the play's already called.
Exactly right.
It's just, can he make the right read? And that's the thing, too, is Drew's at the line of scrimmage. You remember, you only got it so much time. I think the play's called, unless it's emergency, they might have a cut-cut or kill-kill.
Right.
That might go from a pass to a run or something like that. But it's hard going from a pass to a pass.
Well, one of the things I want to focus on next hour here as well, too, is it's get your opinion on from a quarterback position, right? Because a lot of people are saying, hey, look, maybe the Saints, Larry Holder yesterday was one of them that says the Saints could be looking for somebody before the trade deadline. It could be a receiver. Emmanuel Sanders is a name that's been thrown out there. A.J. Green's
Green.
A name that's been thrown out there. Is it that a receiver isn't stepping up, or is it a case where when I look at the game, I think it's one read and move on? I mean,
yeah.
I can't say the receiving corps isn't stepping up just yet because it's not Drew Brees. Because
right.
Drew spread the ball around everybody, and I'm not saying that I would do the same thing if I'm Teddy. If 13's there, I'm going to 13.
Right.
If 41's in a game, I'm going to 41. And now you see him, he's going to Jared Cook a lot. So that's three different – so and it's more comfortable because you know those guys are going to be open.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking in their direction already. I almost have to wait until Drew gets back before I start saying – is the rest of the receiving corps not stepping up? But
I'll say
the fact
this.
That the Saints are looking, per reports.
Real quick, the fact that they are looking for receivers makes them think that, look, you cannot have too many good receivers that,
right,
that can help.
Well, Traquan Smith's been injured for a while.
You just can't keep throwing the ball to 13. Eventually, you throw him 15 times, he catches 10. He's going to get popped 10 times, yeah, or maybe 13 times. He's going to come up with an injury. I've always said this, if you got five guys that are catching passes for your offense in every football game, that's a plus. 5, 6, 7, anything,
yeah,
over 5. If you got 3 or 4 guys or 3 guys, you look over there, 3 guys, one's got 10, one's got 8, one's got 6, wow, they're taking a beating a little bit. Why aren't the other guys? If they're receivers on your football,
right,
club, they should be catching passes too.
Hour 2 is brought to you by 5 Alone, 5 511 by Carl Malone. Go check them out. 6601 Veterans Boulevard across from the entrance to Lafreniere Park. Boots, backpacks, all kinds of different gear, John. I promise when you get in there, you'll at least be like, hey, I didn't know this store existed.
I will be
it's
there.
It's kind of cool to check out. Coming up next, Andrea Legreta will talk about the Tulane matchup at Memphis. Larry Holder, the Athletic, is going over there, passing on Mississippi State LSU. Andy Staples of the Athletic, national college football columnist, he did a massive piece on Willie Fritz and Tulane, so they get the attention. Now can they back it up on the field? Andrew will preview that for us. Eric Alexander, 145, will preview LSU Mississippi State. We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Rich Lake Drive in Metairie, on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Ready, set, hunt! Home and Tractor has your John Deere Gator UTV ready. With our Gear Up for Fall promotion, there's never been a better time to buy. Save $500 off of all full-size Gators and get 0% for 48 months. These units have the power to pull disc and haul enough feed to make your pickup truck blush. Hurry! Offer ends October 25th, 2019. Financing subject to credit approval. Down payment may be required. Some restrictions apply. See Home and Tractor for details.
Metairie favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
At the Cancer Center of Thibodaux Regional, we take our role as the leader in cancer care seriously. That's why we have more cancer doctors than anyone else in the Bayou region, in-house and on-site every day. More cancer doctors fighting more types of cancer and winning. If you ever need to battle cancer, these are the experts you want on your team. More cancer doctors, better quality care, greater patient satisfaction. That's the Cancer Center of Thibodaux Regional. For more on our cancer services, go to Thibodaux.com.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Take a step toward updating your home with exclusive LifeProof vinyl plank flooring from The Home Depot, starting at just $319 a square foot. It locks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch resistant, and comes in a variety of trendy styles with over 40 colors to choose from. That's a step in the right direction. Today is the day for doing with LifeProof vinyl plank flooring, starting at just $319 a square foot. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Have you been injured on an offshore rig or know someone who has? Then you'll want to work with a firm that truly understands maritime law. Offshore injuries are governed by a set of laws that are quite different than land accidents. So it's important that no time is wasted finding the best maritime attorney for your case. An experienced attorney from the Gavery Law Group will help determine what your next step should be. If you need legal advice or have been injured offshore, call Gavery Law Group today at 985-223-4400. Or follow us on Facebook. Get Gavery. Get results.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Saturday night, 6 p.m. over on ESPN2. It'll be Tulane taking on Memphis. The voice of the Green Wave, Andrew Allegretta, joins us every Thursday at 1:30 to preview the upcoming game and talk about the game before after that, and then we'll have a little fun as well. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing well, Gus. How are you?
Doing fantastic. You'll be followed over on Twitter at @AAllegretta is the way to do so. I guess let's put a bow on the game. Last week, we always talk about this on the air during the game and pregame, and when you join us on Thursdays, part of being a winning program is getting to the point where you can have take care of business games, and that, those are good, right, where you're not worried, this could be a trip up or something like that. Tulane's had a couple of those this season, and they've taken care of business, and they did so last week.
So Tulane was favored by what, Gus? Wasn't it like 34, 35 points, something like that? It's one thing to take care of business, get the win, and move on. It's another thing to show your dominance. And UConn's obviously a program that's struggling at the moment. They're going to have to deal with their transition to independent football away from the American Conference. But Tulane established dominance regardless of the opponent. I think that says something as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, John, one of the things that you're seeing as well by the fact that they're taking care of business and they're getting the job done, like Andrew's saying, you're getting the national attention. Andrew, is that a storyline moving forward and maybe even this week? We saw Andy Staples yesterday. We saw the piece, or Tuesday rather. We saw the piece that hit today. You see the team second lining. Larry from the Athletics going up there. He's passing on LSU Mississippi State to go there. We're getting a lot more people kind of talking about the Green Wave. How do they handle it, right?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I kind of expect, Gus, that they'll handle it pretty well, and I don't think that if Tulane, and very likely, by the way, and I say this guardedly, but I think truthfully, very likely when Tulane probably does lose a ball game at some point in time down the stretch here because the schedule is so challenging, I don't think it's going to be because they got too into themselves or they, you know, read their Twitter messages too much. I think it's because they're going to go up against a really good opponent at some point in time that just makes a play when Tulane doesn't make a play. I don't know if it's this week against Memphis or if it's down the road against UCF or an SMU or something like that. Keep in mind, the schedule is really tough. But I think it's a team that is going to be good enough to keep itself in competition for the very, very top of this conference throughout the entire slate. And I really don't. I haven't seen it yet from these guys. They could have been overwhelmed by moments like Houston. They fell behind and then they came back. Right. They could let off the gear against UConn. They didn't. They could have been challenged by a triple option at Army in a very historic setting. They weren't. All of the things that you say, oh, maybe now, haven't happened yet. So, again, when something goes wrong and there's a bump in the road, I just don't think it's going to be because they're overwhelmed by the attention or whatever. But, again, it will continue to grow the more you win. So we'll see.
Andrew, John Forkett here. My question is this: is when you know, season began, nobody really knew what Tulane was going to be like, and then all of a sudden, I think the game-changing game was the Houston game. How they won it at the end, and I've always said this: you know, games that you can win, football games, no matter how you get a win out of it. When you're losing, and all of a sudden you win, they won that game. Then they go on the road, and then they take on an Army team. I believe they haven't lost 14, 15 games in a row, whatever is up in Army, with that style of offense that Army performs, you know, and does against their opponents. Tulane has showed us here in City that they're capable of going up against teams, Memphis, SMU, and probably UCF, the three toughest opponents they have left on their schedule. I think they're capable now of what they've done offensively with Tulane and also what they have done defensively at Tulane to be able to hang in it. They've won the close games. Now they know what's ahead of Memphis. On the road at Memphis is going to be tough, but they beat Memphis last season. So tell me a little bit about what you're seeing of the team here at Tulane. I know one of their players said, we're not looking at just, you know, going to a bowl game. We want bigger and better things. What is bigger and better things for Tulane?
Oh, well, Willie Fritz established it at the start of the season, John, right? He came right out and said, we're here to win the West Division because they tied for it a season ago, did not go to the conference championship game. Memphis did. So he laid it out there, which is a gutsy move, by the way, for a coach because all of a sudden you've established the expectations. And if you don't hit it, then you've got some questions to answer. But I think the players have respected that. And I give a lot of credit, by the way, to Justin McMillan because I think he deserves the recognition for someone who's injected confidence into the program. I think Willie Fritz has done that to an exceptional degree, but you need player buy-in too. And Justin McMillan leads this team in confidence, bar none. He's got confidence to spare. He shows it on the field. He's undeterred when his mistakes come about. And he talked a lot about the standard that has been set at the program, where it's about they're not comfortable being the old Tulane. And Justin McMillan, I thought it was really good. He had an appreciation for the program at the press conference back on, I guess it was Tuesday, just talking about the fact that he understands that football was nearly cut here a number of years ago. And that's not acceptable. That sort of mindset is not, in his mind, acceptable. And whether it starts started with him or not, or if it was a bubbling up from all of the players, there's that level of confidence and a standard that they have. And it's really easy to see when they play.
At A. Allegretto is the way to follow Andrew over on Twitter. He's the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. All right, so let's look at this matchup here, John. And Andrew, because look, it's a place, I'm not going to call it a house of horrors, but they're 13-2 in that stadium anytime Tulane goes and takes on Memphis. And it's not just that they don't come out with the win. Darnell Mooney in our pregame, you'll hear it, Andrew, on Saturday. He says, oh, I remember it. In that 56-point, they're blowouts. Or they're leading and they do well. And, Andrew, it's that Memphis-Navy game where Navy was leading and it's boom, boom, two big plays by Memphis. Now they're off and running. The sirens going. You know, it gets away from you, and it just hasn't been a good place for Tulane to go play.
You know what's kind of interesting to me, Gus, too, as I read into this matchup is, and again, you've got the history in the background, and I understand. I believe the last time that Tulane has won at the Liberty Bowl was the last game of their perfect 1998 season, which is a little bit ironic, I think. But what's funny to me is, and I guess if I was a player, especially a new player, I would kind of take the mentality into it as well. Like, Memphis's football program throughout the course of its history has not exactly been like this world. They've gone through some really challenging times. They've changed coaches. That Liberty Bowl for a number of years was absolutely dead with fans. Again, it's going to be packed on Saturday night because Memphis is good, Tulane is good, and this matchup means something right now. But from a player's perspective, I don't know. I kind of go into it with that mindset too. And I say that cautiously because I've seen plenty of football teams with players that don't understand the history of matchups because they weren't born still fall victim to them. But I don't know. I guess I would, as a new player, I would try to keep that in mind as well. Like, it's not like the Liberty Bowl is the same thing as Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge or, you know, Lane Stadium in Blacksburg or the Horseshoe in Columbus. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I guess that's sort of what I'm driving at.
So what do you look at when you look at the keys in this game here? Because Tulane's defense to try to, I guess, keep that explosiveness that Memphis sort of has. And I think if I'm Coach Willie Fritz, I got that backfield, man. And one way to keep Memphis off is to run that football. So I think if Tulane can carry the load in the backfield, I think that way, that can really lead to the chances of improving for a Wave win, huh?
Yeah, I would say so, right? That's sort of always Willie Fritz's mentality and why I really appreciate Gus. The balance between Will Hall and Willie Fritz. Willie's got that strong football foundation and background and kind of rooted in some of the classics. Well, Will Hall has the innovation and the creativity to keep people on their toes. So that backfield of Bradwell, who should be healthy if you haven't been following throughout the season, Bradwell missed the UConn game with an ankle injury. He's expected to go, I think. That seems to be the consensus at the moment. So you got Bradwell, you've got Dauphine, who continues to just rip off huge runs, Gus. Good to see that. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Hutterson you can throw out there. You've got Amari Jones, who plays the super back position. They have, kind of like Memphis a season ago, right? Like, I asked Will Hall about that. Memphis last year had Daryl Henderson, Tony Pollard, and Patrick Taylor. When you have that many different backs, you just keep people on their toes. You can change formations while continuing to go fast. That certainly seems like an area that would be advantageous if Tulane can just keep Memphis' offense off the field.
Andrew Allegretta, the way to follow him over on Twitter, at Allegretta. And coming up later this evening, the head coach Willie Fritz show, man. What time is that and where?
We start that one off at 6 p.m. over at Lost 18. Would love folks to come on out and join us. And, of course, you can always listen on the TuneIn Radio app. If you have not downloaded that app, it's always good. Our football broadcast, including someone by the name of Gus Cattingale, will be on those broadcasts as well. So that's your way to listen if you're floating around the TuneIn Radio app.
Always a pleasure, man. See you tonight, buddy.
Take it easy, Gus.
Andrew Legretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. John, as we go to break, look, here's the remarkable aspect of it, too. It's October 19th when they will kick this game off. If Tulane wins, that's win number 6. Mm-hmm. It could become bowl eligible middle of October.
October.
That's not anything normal that's been in the past for Tulane. It hasn't. It took them to the last play of the game last season.
They are one of the best improved teams of the college football, and great storyline from. Like I said, I can see him winning, you know, eight games this year, you know, nine maybe. We'll see what happens.
Eric Alexander has made his appearance. We will talk a little LSU Mississippi State. What does he think of the Cowbells? We'll ask him when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
At EA underscore Alexander. Nope, it's at EA underscore LSU Tigers. See, I was seeing if you're paying attention. I was saying if you were paying attention. I knew what it was. I was just saying
sure,
if you were paying attention.
Sure, Gus.
Jordan shaking his head behind you. I know it. I was seeing if Eric was paying attention. John Forcade, Eric Alexander here live.
I got it. This is all the time, Eric. He tries to cover himself.
No,
all the
that
time.
Was not a cover. I totally knew that. I was right. Eric, last week, man, LSU in Florida, it was a lot of times we don't get games that are billed a certain way, right, John? We have expectations that games are hyped, but we knew College Game Day was going to be lit. We expected the game to be excited. Coach O and the player said he thought there were like 3,000 people for the Tiger walk down the hill. The works. People were ready for that game, and it turned out to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, it was a great game. You know, Baton Rouge was lit, man. It was on fire. I was there all day after I did my show on campus with the guys, and it was a lot of excitement, like it should have been, surrounding that game. And it was a good game. It was a really good game. It was competitive. I mean, it came down to who could make a couple stops here and there, and LSU was able to make those stops.
When you look at that game, and I asked John earlier, a guy like Joe Burrow obviously stands out, but again, I look at sort of like with Texas, you got to compliment the coaching adjustments that were made from the first half to the second half on the defensive side. And John, I love, and I know you love this being a quarterback, the aggressiveness. Don't just try to hold down, look at the clock and win the game. Go win it. And so when you see that touchdown pass to Ja'Marr Chase, it has to make you feel good. Because on the defensive side, you know you have an offense that wants to win the game, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's LSU's identity this year, right? They're going to score. It don't matter. It doesn't matter, if it's a minute left in the game. If they got a chance to score, it doesn't matter how many points they're up by, they're going to score. It's not the LSU of old where they get up by a touchdown or a couple of scores and then just run the ball out. Now, with this offense they have, revamped offense, they're looking to score every time they touch the ball.
Well, Eric, you know, you play in the NFL, and I can say this much from a quarterback that watching LSU's performance and watching how they played. They're 60 minutes of football, and that's the whole key to it. I've always said this. You know, you always call a play, and I've always done this from a coach when I coach arena ball. I call a play to score. I don't care if it's a dive play or whatever. So that's what you see in LSU. Mm-hmm. They want to call every play that they can offensively and hope you score on the play. And that's what it should be. And you're right. The old-time LSU football, you know, I hate to bring it up, but, you know, it was like you want to win by your defense. And this all this about, oh, defense wins championships. Well, that's true to a certain extent. But the way the offenses have done that, and look in the NFL. They look at it like this now. If you could throw a 3-yard pass in the NFL, what is that like in college ball? It's a 3-yard running play.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe the quarterback and the receivers nowadays, so that's what you see with LSU. I love these receiving core that LSU has. I know Chase. I remember him playing with my nephew in high school. I watch LSU's dominance with the receiving core. They got a good offensive line. They got a fantastic quarterback, but they're making the plays because the coaches upstairs believe in these guys, saying, you know what, we're not going to let the defense win again. We want to put the game out of reach. And you saw that in the Texas game, and you saw that in the Florida game. They come out throwing. They come out doing things offensively that makes this a different LSU team from the past.
Yeah, you're right, John. They're definitely using the passing game as an extension of their run game. But what? You know, you got to give Florida credit, too. I mean, they came out ready to play offensively from an offensive standpoint, which I was kind of shocked with. They played really well on offense, and they forced LSU to have to continue to score, and they kept LSU's defense on the field for a very long time, which you know, because of LSU's and their rotation, it wasn't as much of a problem as it could have been. But yeah, you got to give Florida all the credit in the world. I mean, they came out and they drove the ball too. They scored in ways that I didn't think they were going to. I didn't think they were going to be able to drive the ball down the field 75 yards the way they did, and I was really surprised by that.
I asked John this at the beginning of the show, and I'll ask you, since obviously you put on the purple and gold, letdowns. Is that a real thing? Is that something that media kind of come up with, fans just kind of use as an excuse if a team doesn't perform well after having a big game, or is legitimately – do you get that sense and feel at practice? Can you see it? Explain how sometimes after a big game, that same team doesn't play the same way the following week.
I think it is a real thing. It is a real thing, but it's only a real thing if the people who lead the team make it a real thing. I think first of all, it starts with Ogeron, right? It starts with him, but I feel like he has the leadership on that team, starting with Joe Burrow. They're not going to let that happen to this team. They can see what's in front of them, and this just didn't start, you know, at the beginning of this season, right? This started back last year. They see what's in front of them, and they know what they have a chance to go get and compete for. So, I think a letdown it will be hard. It'll be hard for me to see them get let down just because of the senior leadership on that team.
And another thing, you talk about letdowns. This is the SEC. You have to know when you look at your schedule in the SEC who you playing this week, that week, that week, and that. So for you to sit there and say, or somebody say, well, you're going to have a letdown. Anybody can beat anybody. South Carolina showed that last week going into Georgia.
Yeah.
Yep. So these guys at LSU, I guarantee you Coach O and that staff, hey guys, did you see South Carolina go into Georgia and beat Georgia, number two, number three ranked team in the country? We are number two ranked team. We can't go into play a Mississippi State team and not give it our all and our best. So I guarantee you'll see it differently played here going into this game. I don't see a letdown coming here just because of the fact, like you said, Eric, coaching staff and the players in that club know what has happened already to other teams, and these guys know what's at stake for them. They know they have to get to that Alabama game undefeated.
Yeah.
And a
yeah.
slip up on the way causes them a chance for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, Eric, along those lines, take us to Stark Vegas. What is it like to play with the Cowbells? Obviously, they've extended their stadium since you played and stuff. But, look, I mean, this is a team that is not having sort of the year that they sort of like. So you know what they're doing all week, right? This is their moment. I mean, they're South Carolina. They want to be able to ruin your season and go do it. What is it like with those Cowbells and everything, and what do you see challenges wise that maybe the Bulldogs can present, if any?
Yeah, obviously Starkville, it is an interesting and different place to play with the Cowbells. Uh-huh. You know, after every good play or when they're trying to get the defense fired up, you do hear the Cowbells. I think what the coaches will do at Mississippi State, they'll go back and take a look at what Florida had success with, what some of these other teams have had success against LSU's defense, and I think they'll try to incorporate that into their offensive game plan. What I saw against Florida in some of those long 75-yard drives were their the plays to extend drives, one, and then them running the ball with that backup quarterback. I think they'll try to implement some of that. Now, I don't think Schrader, who's their starter right now, is a running quarterback, but they do have that dude, Keaton Thompson, who played here from New Orleans. That's a backup over there. So I think he's a more athletic type guy. I think he may be able to get in there for a change of pace, maybe run the ball a little bit.
The old wrinkles.
You don't know,
Stevens will play? The quarterback that came from Penn State that started this past week?
Right.
Well, he's hurt.
No, yeah. He played his past game. He played this way. That's what the big problem going down in Mississippi State is. They want everybody to go back to the bearded guy, Shredder. They were saying that he was the quarterback that they should be playing, not Stevens.
Right.
I got you.
All right, thank you, Eric. Appreciate it so much. Hour 3 coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Fleet Supply Warehouse.